Support for Science Friday comes from Northeastern University, where researchers are creating innovative science, technology, and policy solutions to make coastal cities sustainable. Learn how Northeastern is making tomorrow happen at northeastern.edu/tomorrow.
This is Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. 2 weeks ago, President Obama placed sanctions on a group of Russian officials in response to the conflict in Crimea. The Russians responded with their own sanctions on several U.S. officials. And yesterday, NASA released a statement that said the agency will stop most communications with their Russian counterparts. That means no NASA travels to Russia, not even any emails, meetings, or teleconferences. But the International Space Station is exempt for now. Could this eventually affect travel to the International Space Station, where Americans now rely and depend on the Russians? How about the bulk of American space industry that relies on Russian-made rockets? Could a new Cold War be centered, as it used to be, around space travel? Marcia Smith is president of the Space and Technology Policy Group, editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com in Arlington, Virginia. Welcome back to Science Friday, Marcia.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden addressed this yesterday. What did he say?
He spoke to a meeting of two National Academy of Sciences boards, and I think he was trying to tamp down some of the furor about it. And although the NASA memo that went out was pretty explicit and said you must suspend your contacts with Russia, Administrator Bolden had a different take on it and said his advice to his employees is to keep doing what you're doing with Russia until you're told to stop. So
doing,
I think that he,
yeah,
I think that he was
doing
trying to tamp down
on
it.
Oh, he's trying to tamp it down.
Yes, and so you mentioned in your opening that the space station is exempt from this, and that certainly is the lion's share of the cooperation between NASA and Russia. But there are other things that NASA does with Russia. There's a Russian instrument on the Mars Curiosity rover, for example, and they do testing in Russian wind tunnels. So I think that this is an evolving situation, and NASA is still trying to figure out exactly how they're going to handle this new guidance that they've been given.
Is it possible it could escalate into the International Space Station?
Well, anything's possible. I'm not an expert on the Kremlin, but people seem surprised that Mr. Putin decided to do what he did in Crimea, so I'm not sure that we have all the understanding that we have of what motivates them to do things. But the bottom line is with Space Station is that we are codependent on operating Space Station. Russia really can't operate it without us, and we can't get up there without them. So if they decided to stop sending American astronauts up to the space station, and then the United States decided to stop providing electrical power, for example, to the Russian part of the space station, then the space station itself, I think, would become inoperable after a period of time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned about NASA's response. It released this statement via a quote, a leaked memo, and platforms like Google Hangout and Twitter. Well, that's something new, isn't it?
Well, it certainly wasn't an unusual way to break the news. I think when you have something like this, which is a foreign policy issue that ordinarily one would expect a statement from the State Department or the White House saying that they were going to do this, and then agencies, because this is across the government, it's not only NASA, then agencies would implement this new directive. But instead, the way everybody found out about it was because a NASA official sent a memo out to the rest of NASA. It got leaked. People waited hours for NASA to come up with an official response. And when it did, NASA put this response on a Google Plus page and tweeted that it was there. And the statement that they posted really was more about domestic policy than foreign policy, because it really challenged Congress to fully fund this commercial crew program so that NASA can once more take astronauts up to the space station without the Russians.
So there might be cynics among us who say that this is a sort of a clever political ploy on NASA's part to get funding that has been cut or that they would like from Congress?
Well, I don't interpret it that way. I interpret this as a broad directive that went out to government agencies, and it just so happens that NASA is a very transparent organization, and when the memo got out, it found its way into the public domain, and that obviously hasn't happened with the other agencies. And I think that NASA is very focused right now on trying to convince Congress to fully fund this commercial crew program And they're using this as an opportunity to engage in that debate. Mm-hmm. Although interestingly...
Please, go ahead.
Interestingly, they're using this to talk about commercial crews so that America can have access to the space station, but the space station is exempt from this policy. So that actually is a strange debate to be having in this context, because this what's really being affected by here are other kinds of cooperation, the non-space station cooperation.
Mm-hmm. How dependent are we on Russia in terms of space?
In terms of space station, we are completely dependent on Russia to get astronauts back and forth. And we are also dependent on Russia for this lifeboat function. When you have people up on the space station, they need a way to get off in an emergency. And these Russian Soyuz capsules are those lifeboats. So you need them not only to get back and forth, but you need to have something attached to the space station while they're up there.
You know, what came to light this last couple of weeks when this all started and when NASA got involved and people were talking to me about this is that I don't think most of the public realizes that even though there are the American companies build the rocket ships that go to the space station, that the rocket motors themselves come from Russia and we're dependent on those rocket motors.
So the Russian rocket motors, which are called RD-180s, are used for a rocket called the Atlas V. And at the moment, the Atlas V actually is not part of the space station program. It may be in the future, but right now it's used primarily to launch national security payloads. And I agree with you that I think the American public is not aware of that.
So we depend on the Russian for their rockets to put our national security stuff into space?
For the rocket engines.
Yes.
For the Atlas V, we have two big rockets, an Atlas V and a Delta IV, and the Delta IV is not dependent on Russia, and the Atlas V is dependent on Russia, and the company that makes them says that they have a two-year supply of these Russian engines. So if there was a disruption, we'd have at least 2 years to come up with a plan B.
Why don't we use American rockets? I mean, we know how to make them, don't we?
Well, yes, and the Delta IV is certainly an example of that, and that is a very capable launch vehicle. But the RD-180 engines, and I confess I'm not a rocket engine expert, but the people who are say that that is a darn nifty engine. And in fact, the head of the company...
That's language, darn nifty.
the company that launches these, the head of it was testifying to Congress recently, and he was saying that when our engineers got to see these engines, they literally didn't believe it, because there were things in our textbooks that said you couldn't do this, and there the Russians had done it. So it really is a terrific engine.
Didn't Elon Musk, who owns SpaceX, testify before Congress pointing this out and sort of intimating that, gee, you know, you guys are dependent on Russian rocketry. We could make our own if XYZ.
Well, SpaceX does make its own engines. So there are different kinds of rockets and different kind of engines. And Elon Musk's rocket, the Falcon 9, does have American engines in it. So he is trying to make the point use my rockets because I'm all American. And I think he's having some success in at least getting Congress's attention that this is a problem. But the big problem, of course, is that there's not a lot of money out there to build new engines for the size of rocket that would be comparable to the Atlas V.
Doesn't this sound like the beginning of the space race all over again? You know, we didn't go to space because it was a scientific thing they did. We went into space because it was a political opposition with the Russians, right? We had a political race with the Russians. Doesn't it sound like this is sort of starting again? You know, we could build those Russian. We should build those rockets because the Russians can do it, and we shouldn't let them get ahead of us again.
Well, things have evolved a lot over the past decades, of course, and we do have this cooperative program with Russia and Europe and Japan and Canada, the International Space Station. And so the U.S. and Russia are working together very closely in a cooperative fashion on that program, at least. And the two countries have been working together on a lot of other programs as well. So there is a very different flavor to this. And I think a lot of people haven't followed the space station program and may not realize that back in 1993, when Russia was invited to join the space station program, that really was a political decision. And there have been other political decisions that have affected the space station program in the interim. So this is more of a continuation of the space station being part of geopolitics.
Speaking of space geopolitics, the American rocketry people, NASA, is forbidden to make deals or to cooperate with the Chinese, are they not?
And that is by law. That is not an administration directive. And it's because a congressman, Frank Wolf of Virginia, who chairs the House Appropriations Subcommittee that funds NASA, very much objects to the Chinese government's record on human rights and on other issues. Mm-hmm. And so he did put into law that neither NASA nor the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy can do anything with regard to space cooperation with China unless they can certify to Congress that there is absolutely positively no chance at all that there will be any technology transfer.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that might be rethought now as sort of ball is my court. Maybe we'll change our cooperation agreement with China on space, China being, an opposite pawn in this political game to Russia, and saying, maybe that'll give the Russians something to think about?
I don't sense any change in the attitudes of Congressman Wolf and others who agree with him on this particular issue. So, no, I don't think that will change.
Do you think this is all overblown, this whole issue here?
The issue of the memo and what the memo says?
Yeah. The whole thing about the space station and the cooperation with the Russians.
Well, I think that people have not really focused on how dependent we have become on Russia. And maybe this will be a wake-up call. But the question is, what do you do once you realize how dependent the U.S. is on Russia? Are you going to spend the money to develop a rocket engine of equivalent thrust to the RD-180? And if so, where's the money going to come from in an era when everybody is intent on cutting government spending?
We're now back to square one. Thank you, Marcia, very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Marcia Smith, president of the Space and Technology Policy Group and editor of spacepolicyonline.com in Arlington, Virginia.